Now I'll share some thoughts on generosity, virtue, and truthfulness. So I'm going to skip along here. So today, as you participate, notice which ones feel weak, which ones feel strong. Notice the bodily sensations that come up with thoughts when you hear the talks, when we talk about them. And if your inner critic starts listing off all the ways you fall short, remember the Zen philosophy of one continuous mistake. It is in the very nature, it's the very nature of life to force us to fail. And we learn more from our failures than our successes. So relax. Be imperfect. Be lighthearted about yourself and this human life that we have bestowed upon us. So wherever you are on the map, developing one of the paramis will nourish the others. So generosity, let's start with a quote from Sylvia Boorstein's book, Pay Attention for Goodness Sake. Poonjaji, an Indian teacher, said, "There is no such thing as generosity. There's only the awareness of the need and the natural impulse of the heart to address it." Generosity is letting go of attachment. It's a willingness to open to all things, to share with others and contemplate abundance for all without contracting. Generosity is stated at the beginning as the easiest to practice since we all have something to give. We are all generous. A simple hello, please, and thank you. As one Tibetan teacher said, nothing comes to you except through the kindness of others. Another quote, in nature, nothing is bought, everything is given. And as mentioned before, generosity creates connection with people. We're engaging in life, giving time and attention. It's not just about concentrating on the cushion. But when we feel a lack, we cannot give. There's a feeling of defending or protecting. We can feel a shift in our body. It may be confusing and unclear. We may pull away from people and not relax. I know I had this feeling about giving Donna earlier on. And what if we followed through though on spontaneous intentions to give? Our mind will immediately create all these arguments about why we should not give, but if we felt that inner joy we receive with that initial heart's voice that says to give, why not see it through and see for ourselves? It doesn't have to be about money. What a gift it would be for others to have a ch to not change anyone's thoughts, ideas, or actions. Contentment arises with generosity. So generosity has a natural tie to virtue or ethics because it affects the benefits the giver and the receiver. The Buddha said, if you knew what I knew about the benefits of sharing, you would not let a moment by without sharing. Generosity thwarts that need for attachment and greed, and flowing from that, developing virtue and integrity through wise speech and wise action. So there's an abundance that's opened when we're not feeling needy and we understand that life is impersonal, imperfect, and impermanent. So virtue and morality is taking on an intention to cause no harm. I got to do a time check. Thank you. It's being willing to live a life based on ethics and integrity. It is done in connection with others. And even though we're on screen today, we are in connection with others. How we are bringing in our hearts and minds, in this moment. So how we speak, how we act, how we treat people, and what we do in our lives. It starts with our own self-talk and how we treat ourselves. We usually take that and place that on to others. And so we usually take the precepts usually five of them on retreat, sometimes eight. The basis for them is cause no harm. So can you just imagine if everyone vowed, every human being vowed to cause no harm? What a world. Buddha said this was a vow. This vow is fulfilled with a fearlessness. And it also takes on a quality that, as he put it, no one shall fear me. So you see, this is also a gift of generosity. It comes back to the motivation or intention of our words and actions. When Rahula, the Buddha's son, was 7 years old, the Buddha told him to repeatedly reflect before, during, and after any action, physical, mental, or verbal, as to whether or not the act was harmful, skillful, or unskillful. If he determined at any point in his reflection that the act was harmful or unskillful, he should drop it, stop doing it, or not do it again. So when hearing that, there's no story or narrative to indulge in, no shame and blame to carry with you, but the Buddha did not say beat yourself up for harsh words spoken and carry shame and blame with you wherever you go, like a burden on your shoulders. No, he simply said, start again, see clearly without judgment. And virtue is letting go of old reactive habits. It starts inside. I wrote in the gut. What's inside gets outside in speech and action. So how clean is our gut? We can know ourselves through our speech, body, and mind. So I've noticed I've started to go against some resistance to people. So I have said hello to complete strangers, men. I usually resist or judge and dismiss, or, you know, just don't notice. I have made it a point to say hello. And it's been really liberating. And I've noticed that I feel more complete or strong. And I'm letting go of assumptions and attachment and preferences. It's not about willpower. It's not the voice of the ego. It's a spontaneous engagement of the moment. And so what are we willing to do to meet the truth of contraction? So what opens is a feeling of humility and integrity, this new willingness to see our mistakes, our imperfections. And for causing harm, change course and be guided by a greater power to cause no harm. We are trustworthy, and it feels good to cause no harm. And there's an access to a growing internal calm with acceptance. Truthfulness as honesty is the foundation of all our intentions. So in a way, truthfulness should be leading the entire, it leads our practice. All the paramis are grounded in truthfulness. Unless we are honest and truthful, we simply cannot open our hearts. When we're deluded or ignorant, how can we know what's true? Example, in an important turning point in my life, an author wrote in a book I bought, "Don't be afraid of what's true." In an instant, my heart opened and I saw what was hidden. I was vulnerable and sincere enough to recognize this inner voice I was blinded to, and it changed my life and began a whole long spiritual journey. And we need each other to reflect truthfulness. It's letting go of deluding, fabricating, and denying, very subtle. And do we know the subtle ways we shade each other or fabricate, exaggerate who we are? Are we paying attention to the truthfulness of our words and actions, or just simply repeating the recording? Our practice is one big spiritual bypass if we are not truthful. But it's okay. We don't know what we don't know. but we are bypassing something deeper. Think for a moment when you told the truth about yourself and what a great relief came over you, or when someone else spoke a truth and you immediately connected and something else opened up for you, or recall how your words were really someone else's, just parroting a view to be heard in a conversation. And I remember years ago talking to a psychologist about my greatest fear. I told him it was the death of a partner. And this truthfulness, I had no idea. It was just an expression of honesty about what's going on in the present moment without being deceptive or adding on. The quality, the heart quality. So truthfulness is intimacy, and intimacy requires connection with one another in vulnerability, right? Vulnerability. It's open, not contracted or withdrawn. And so that example before, I've recently felt deeper intimacy with the truth of what my is against my assumptions of people and situations. And I've noticed I've hung on to beliefs of things that happened in my childhood. And I can't even really be sure they happened. So I'm letting go. Why do I connect with that narrative? I can let it go. But I see how holding on to narratives have deceived myself about how I show up in the world and my reaction to intimacy. So what happened was I just reflected on the bodily sensation. Even in reflection, I noticed that there was an emotion I resisted and before the thinking clicked in. At first, I thought it was compassion, but there was something underneath. It was fear. Fear of impermanence. I wanted to fix something which avoided feeling compassion, just the quivering of the heart. The ego wants to get busy and bypass the quiver of the heart to fix it. It doesn't want to look at the impermanence of life and our fragility, which we cannot fix. So for me, this is where the work is. Everyone here clings to beliefs about themselves to some degree in any moment. It's the nature of delusion and ignorance. But the heart is seen through the body. So, I heard from Rodney Smith too, start questioning your narrative. So what opens is this propensity to be vulnerable with each step and not to hide. So truthfulness is said to manifest as intimacy, a fearlessness, non-judgmental quality that is gentle and forthcoming, not passive. And in this space, no story is bound in suffering, just sheer honesty of what is happening in the moment and the willing to be open to others. So today, we can support each other by dedicating ourselves to be truthful, by knowing we offer a gift to each other, by listening, by watching our speech and actions and asking if they're grounded in intention to cause harm, even how you're listening. What are you resisting? What are you opening to? What, you know, so, but also holding it lightly. I made amends recently for harsh speech. It was humbling. I didn't know until later upon reflection that my reaction was like squeezing a tube of toothpaste that had a hole in it. Squeezing it, it comes out sideways. So if one is not attuned to one's emotional and mental state through the body, for me, attention to the body, it will burst or seep out sooner or later. And we know when we cross a line, we feel a subtle ache, but we can learn to put that subtle or not so subtle barb down. And the test is right here. And out there, so to speak, in the real world. So today, while on the cushion, during walking, discussion, how can you bring more vulnerability to your experience? How can you go to your edge? How can we create an intention to cause no harm through our self-talk, judgment? And how can you share this knowing with others as a gift? So can you risk something unskillful to see the edge of virtue? Can you risk seeing where you are attached to ideas or views to see generosity, what you can let go of? Can we risk staying open with others and not be vague or deceptive? Can you pay attention to the truthfulness in your inner dialogue? And can you risk being unskillful to see what's true? So nothing is left out here, right? Dharma is everything. There are tears and joy. And I wrote, remember the lotus grows in the mud. We find our moral compass in the mud. We got to grow through the mud to reach the sky. And we journey together. These practices lead to a life of love and acceptance rather than self-seeking and self-delusion. The world is brighter because of your intentions to cause no harm. Let me do another time check. I wrote three pieces of talks. I hope I just didn't do the close. So sit for a second and just reflect on what was connecting with you about truthfulness, generosity, ethics, or virtue. Which ones do you feel the most compelled to hold, be known by? And why are you here today? Holding that gently in your heart. We're not here for a class that's going to be scored and tested about how much you know. So there's something here your heart is breaking for. Be open to what you want to hold and what you want to see that you're leaving out. And I just, my heart looking at y'all, I'm just getting really, I feel so much compassion knowing everyone's lives is full of suffering. The other side of that is joy.